Proverbs 6. And what we're going to do is read the entire parable, not parable, but the proverb from verses 6 through 11. If you don't know where that is, trust me, you're going to want to find it in your Bible. You know how I do. I don't just say it and then we close the book. We keep that book open. Book of Proverbs. If you don't know where that is in the Old Testament. Go to the table of contents. Find Proverbs. It's kind of sort of in the middle of that entire list. If you see Psalms and Job and then Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, you're in that right area. Okay. So book of Proverbs, turn to the 6th chapter. And then what we're going to do is we're going to read this proverb and we're going to refer to it throughout. But it's good for us to just read it first. So with that said, you are all faster than me, so I need to catch up to you. All right. Book of Proverbs, 6th chapter, 6 through 11th verses. I'm going to read this out of the Christian Standard Version. You will find similar words printed in your text. Proverbs 6, verse 6 reads as follows. It says, "Go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest." Verse 9, "How long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest." Verse 11, "And your poverty will come like a robber, your need like a bandit." I'm going to come from the following topic, and y'all might be mad at me because I'm a pastor saying this. Nobody's coming. Nobody is coming. You may be seated. Nobody's coming. Now, St. John, you know that every year, I'll try to do, you know, at least one sermon about money. And I thought I was doing enough. Last year, y'all wanted me to do more sermons on money. That, you know, that was different. Okay. But one thing I realized, and one thing I've been convicted of, is that when I do these sermons on money, like so many pastors and so many ministers, generally what we do, what we preach about, are church finances, about how we need to tithe. I did a whole series last year on tithing. You know, how we need to give, how we need to manage money in relation to the church, in relation to God. We usually talk about church finances. But God not only cares about church finances, he cares about our personal finances as well. And this is what we see in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, is that it starts off by God caring about what happens, not just at St. John, not just during the offering period, not just during the various events and the fundraisers that we do, but what happens on Monday? What happens on Tuesday? In Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 5, it starts to talk about loans and specifically about co-signing. And long story short, that's a whole different sermon. The writer of Proverbs says, never cosign. And if you did, get out. Get out the agreement. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. Written thousands of years ago. And so immediately following this topic of cosigning is Proverbs 6:6-11. And we typically know this proverb to talk about laziness. And the general lesson is that laziness will ruin your finances quickly. And so it's interesting because when we talk, you know, the arrangement of scripture is also inspired. And when the Proverbs writer is talking about don't cosign, and then he talks about laziness, you know, there's kind of a couple of ways you can think about that is maybe this laziness thing is talking about the people that you're cosigning for. And some of us know some lazy folks ain't working, ain't trying to work, ain't trying to improve, and don't have the credit for that new iPhone, but you do. So they ask you, because y'all family, right? You know, the family's supposed to help out family. That's what they say, you know. And now you on the hook, and they swear up and down that they gonna pay until it don't happen. And now here you are with the bill. Because they lazy. And you are literally paying for their laziness. That's one way to look at it. But I actually believe that the laziness, this thought about laziness is actually applying to the cosigner. Because the previous passage was talking about how you need to get out of it quickly. And we know how some people are going to say, yeah, well, you know, I'll get to it. Yeah, I know, Pastor, I'm supposed to not co-sign. I'll talk to him eventually and try to get out of this agreement. And that's what the writer of Proverbs says on verse 6. He says, go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Now, some of y'all are probably asking me this question. What can ants teach us about money? What is this little ant going to teach me about how to structure my finances? What's an ant going to teach me? Well, there's actually three things that an ant can teach you. One of the things it can teach you, first of all, is to stop waiting. Stop waiting. How'd you come up with that, Pastor? Verse 6, go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. What? Verse 7, without leader, administrator, or ruler. It prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. Nobody is responsible to make sure you get things done. It's you. Nobody is responsible to make sure that you get out of some bad debt. It's you. Nobody is responsible to make sure you work. Get up. Work. I say this because we got people that we know by name that ain't gonna do nothing. Or they'll put enough effort for you to just kind of get off their back. But they sitting at your house, eating your food, using your electricity, on your insurance, chilling. And you keep going, when you gonna get a job? I'll look for one. I'll look for one. Yeah, I knew it was gonna be quiet today. It's all right. I practiced in quiet, so it's okay. See, here's the thing that the ant is teaching us. We can be lazy, and we can also breed lazy. Did you know that? Lazy people don't want to do nothing, and us hardworking people got to jump in. We taking up two jobs because they won't take up one. We putting in extra hours because they chilling. They broke their own phone doing stupid stuff. And now here you go having to buy a new phone and a new plan so that they can continue to talk to their own buddies about how they chilling. Saving lazy people teaches the wrong thing. And did you realize this? Nobody's coming to teach the right thing. What does that mean? Some people say, you know what? One day, they're gonna learn. While you're paying for their laziness. One day, they're going to learn. I pray that there's a man in his life that comes up that's going to teach him that he needs to work. And you've been praying that prayer for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I hope you're getting the point. Nobody's coming to teach that lesson that is actually your job to teach. Nobody's coming with that nice, bright, shiny job offer that finally gets them off of the bed and motivated to become a wonderful member of society. Nobody's coming. And what you're doing is you are facilitating laziness. You are helping them to think that there's always somebody there. I can chill, I can eat chips, I can do whatever I want because mama always got me. And they grow up. You thought they were 18. We just give them some time. It was they turned 25 and she's still in the house. Nowhere different than when she was 19. She turned 30, went and had a big old party. Same situation. He turned 40. Now, you know, 40-year-olds, we should be gone, right? Again, I know why it's quiet. This is not a popular sermon. Move forward. What else can ants teach us about money? Lesson number two, that winter is coming. What does that mean? Let's go back to the scripture. Verse 7, it says, without leader, administrator, or ruler, without anybody trying to tell them to get up and tell them what to do, without anybody cracking the whip and reminding them, verse 8, it does what? It prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. So if we know something about ants, and especially if we've had to deal with ant problems in our place, they tend to get real active in the summer, searching for what? Food. And they still active in the late summer. But you notice they tend to disappear toward the end of the year. And what's happening is that the ant is gathering all of this food because at some point it is going to be too cold and the weather is not going to be good enough for them to get food. That is going to happen from about October all the way through March. And so they spend their time ahead of time getting the food, getting everything they need because they know winter is coming. Now, why does the ant do that? Why can't it just relax? Why doesn't it just depend on food to drop out of the sky? Or maybe a bug or some other rodent will try to give it what it needs when they need it. Why do they do that? Because ants know there is nobody coming to save them. And so they plan accordingly. Here is what I'm trying to say. Plan like nobody's coming to save you. Plan like it. What does that look like? You need to have a savings account. And I'm going to add my edit, and an emergency account. Now, some of us may be hearing this for the first time. Here or online, I have no idea who, so let me explain. You have your checking, which is what you spend, right? Normal spend expenditures. But then you have a savings. Because sometimes when your checking, the expenses rise a little bit, and you want to make sure that you have enough money reserved to handle those little extra expenditures. Or you're trying to save up, which is why it's called a savings account, you're trying to save up to get something that you need that you cannot normally afford in your regular expenses. Now, Pastor, why are you adding an emergency account? Because emergencies happen. Emergencies happen. And you need to have some money tucked away just in case you need to go to the hospital. Just in case your car breaks down. Just in case, hate to say this, somebody dies. You need to have money tucked away. I don't know if y'all have checked this job market, but there's a whole lot of folks losing jobs. 4,000 people got laid off on a tweet. You need to have a savings account. What the ants were doing, obviously they were eating during the summer. Obviously they were eating during the harvest, but they got extra and put it into their savings account underground so that when during the winter they can't go out to eat, when the weather's not favorable enough, when there's rain and snow and all of these things, they can eat. And this is why the Lord is telling us, go to the ant. Now, some of us are asking, you know, how much to collect. You know, you can use this principle to say, you know, well, the ant collects about 6 months of food. Maybe the goal for your emergency expenses should be 6 months. If you're looking for a number. Okay, maybe try 6 months. Try to build up your emergency account to have 6 months worth of expenditures. Try to build up your savings. Try to build it up. And I understand some of us are like, look, I don't make $500,000 a year. I don't do that. But start somewhere. Start with the allowance that you get. Start with the little money that you make. Start saving up. Start building an emergency fund. Why? Because of lesson number three. Life does not care. I'm sorry if you don't like the sermon, but this is real life, and I'm trying to help you. Life does not care. Read verse 9. How long will you stay in bed, you slacker? When will you get up from your sleep? And what's interesting is, again, right before I read verse 10, in verse 4, if you check verse 4, it talks about the person, you know, cosigning, how you need to get out of cosigning, right? It says, don't give sleep to your eyes or slumber to your eyelids. And so this is what happens when you don't listen. Verse 10, a little sleep. You didn't listen. A little slumber. A little folding of the arms to rest. Verse 11, and your poverty will come like a robber. Your need like a bandit. Now, just in case you may not know, nobody expects to get robbed. That's the point, right? Robbers catch you by surprise. Nobody, no thief says, I'm coming to your house in 5, 4. Nobody does that. You do not get a warning. It just happens. Not just thieves that break in your house, but people that, you know, kind of run up on you for money. They're not announcing, hey, I got a gun. You walk by me, you're about to get robbed. Nobody does that. You just walk by, minding your own business, and what's up, man? What's up? Give me my money. By surprise. Why am I saying this? Life does not care if you're ready. Life also does not care if you can afford it. Can I tell y'all about real life? January 2015, my wife and I are coming up here for an LA district event. It was happening here at St. John. I don't know if y'all have been on the 110 going north. We pass Lawson, and once you pass Lawson, it kind of, you know, dips down, you know, and then Vernon comes up eventually. So we're at that part where it starts to dip down. We cut into the right lane because, you know, we just want to get in the right lane. That car stops. We stop. The back car didn't. Boom. Crammed our vehicle. Thank God, you know, we're alive and nothing, you know, major happened from that. But it was a total loss. Lost the car. Just put $800 to fix the radiator and some other stuff. Total loss. Now I ain't got a car, and I still got to get to work because we, you know, we're not working from home yet. It's 2015. So here I am trying to figure out rentals and jumping from rental to rental for about 3 weeks. In the meantime, eventually, my insurance gave me a check for $5,000. And was like, here, this is what your car is worth. I'm like, wait a minute, it was paid off. $5,000. So I got to go buy a new car. Ended up paying about 20 grand, you know, over time and all that. So I had to go and get a new car because somebody decided not to hit the brakes. 10 years ago, many of you know that Felicia's mom passed away. Those of you that know about dealing with relatives that pass away, especially close relatives, It costs money. And sometimes, you know, not everybody has enough to do what's needed to be done. Now, thank God, you know, Felicia and her siblings were, you know, they all contributed as much as they could. But guess what? That was an expense we were not ready for. You know, funeral expenses, you know, burial, cremation, you know, there's other stuff that you got to do. It just happens. Life doesn't care. And then later that month, Julie, poor Julie, you know, she had been uprooted her life from Vegas to come to live with her mama, take care of her. God bless her. After that, she comes and lives with us. Later that month, she calls me and Felicia down. We come down. The living room is literally covered in standing water. Living room and kitchen, scooping water out. Let's see what's going on. Call the insurance company. They came in. Oh boy, mold. We're going to have to get, is mold developing? And those of you that have gone through mold remediation processes, no. You got to tear everything up. So that nice, comfortable living room that we had, rip it all up. Now we got to put stuff in storage. Now we got to find a hotel to live in for 3 weeks. Now we got to actually get this clean, redo the floor, et cetera, et cetera. When it all came down to it, everything cost us about 15 grand. Our insurance company, and somewhere in the middle of it, said, here's a check for $5,000. We're done. Well, how am I going to pay for the rest of it? Well, per the policy, we're done. And if we never had any savings, we would have experienced a big problem immediately. And I'm telling you, this is real life. Real life does not care if you can afford to live in a hotel for 3 weeks and throw away half your stuff and try to figure out storage for the rest of it. Real life does not care about funeral expenses. Real life does not care about your random hospital visits. It does not care. And if you are not smart with your money, if you just spend it because you got it and you want to have fun, one day something happens and all of a sudden you got problems. And I mean real problems. All of a sudden you can't pay rent. Now we're talking about eviction notices. What? What? We just had a party over here at your house. Now we're talking about getting evicted? Oh, and by the way, when you get evicted, y'all know that stays around on your record and affects future. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to say? A little sleep. A little slumber. We don't need to build up that savings account. We just after the party. After we have our child's birthday party, spend about $1,000. After that, we'll be okay. After the cruise, after we go out partying, after that, then we'll worry about building up expenses. And the Lord is saying, don't be lazy. Because if you do that one day, everything changes. And for those of us that knows what that's like, that is not fun. And then what happens? Have you noticed this? That in times of instability, we seek stability? What happens when the money gets funny? Have you ever noticed what happens when somebody no longer can pay rent and they're wondering, figuring out, right? What happens? Well, they got to move out, right? So they usually go back, what? Home. To what? stability. And the people that are at the house being stable are the ones that did what the Lord said and saved money and made sure that their finances were in check. So what can ants teach us about money? To stop waiting. That winter is coming. And that life does not care. Listen, we know that Jesus saves. We know that he came through 42 generations and he went on that cross and died for something even worse than our financial debt. It was our spiritual debt. We were sick in sin. We were lost in sin. And there was absolutely no way to pay it off. But Jesus went on that cross and died for us. And he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. We know that Jesus saves. We know that we can go to him in times of trouble. We know that when we have financial issues, we can bring it to him and he will make everything all right. We know that Jesus saves. My point is that Jesus saves. People don't. We want people to act like Jesus and spot us money whenever we get in a jam. And understand, look, God can send people to help you. Yes, he can. God can send people when you are in need to take care of you. I just want you to notice the pattern is that the people that God sends to you, they're usually not lazy. The people that God sends to help you out in a jam usually have their ducks lined in a row. They usually have things figured out on their own end. God can send people to you, but the lesson is, who is he sending to you? Somebody who is not lazy and putting things off until the last minute. Lazy habits eventually turn into prayer requests. But having a savings account minimizes them. You know, some of us are praying that God would get us out of a situation that we absolutely caused, because we didn't save that extra money when we had the chance. God's been telling you for years, save up, because something's gonna happen and you need to be ready. And you're like, yeah, everything's cool. My mom is here, you know, the car's running, I'm good, I got a job. Everything's cool. I don't need to save. I can go party. I'll just worry about that later. And then something happens, and now you can't do any of that. And then all of a sudden, here we are, praying for you to work it out. Praying for God to work it out. Praying that God will make a way. We know he's a way maker and a miracle worker. We know that. But some of us are making it real difficult. We're making it so that he needs to work a miracle. But if you have a savings account, if you have an emergency account, you tend to minimize these prayer requests over time. In the sermon, God has already given you what you need. So get your money right before the winter. If I could leave you with a thought, Jesus already came for you. You do not need another Savior. You do not need to wait and depend on your mama or your grandmama to bail you out. You do not need to wait and depend on the president to finally launch that program so that you can get bailed out. You do not need to wait until St. John gets his act together so that you can finally get the help that you need. Nobody's coming. And if you keep that, and if you understand that, you will understand how to move forward.